All right, so buckle up, because this one is going to make you want to put your fist through a wall, and by the end of it, I'm going to give you something useful to do instead. But first, you need to understand exactly what was done to you, by who, and how they've walked off clean. So in October 2013, the British government sold a 508-year-old national institution, Royal Mail, founded by Henry VIII, who, as we know, had a very relaxed attitude to things that should probably never be gotten rid of. And they sold it so comprehensively badly that on the very first day of trading, the city pocketed £750 million off of the back of it in one single day. The man responsible, Vince Cable, the business secretary, and he was asked directly on camera whether he could have priced it higher. He said, "Well, I could have done, and I could have joined the speculators and spivs, but I'm not interested in doing that." Standing firm against the spivs, while simultaneously the banks advising his government were quietly handing preferential share allocations to their investment arms, which 10 sold within days for millions. The spivs were already at the table. Vince had put the good cutlery out for them. That is this story. A government sold something that belonged to all of us, underpriced it deliberately, handed the discount to city institutions who flipped it within hours, took a £750 million hit on day one, removed a £37.5 billion pension liability, and loaded it onto you at £4 million a day, and then watched the service collapse until a Czech billionaire bought it in 2025 for roughly the same price, despite JP Morgan valuing it at up to £10 billion in 2013. Oh, and now the first class stamp is at £1.80 instead of the 60p that it was at in 2012. Before the heist, you need to understand what actually got flogged off. Royal Mail is not just a delivery company. It gave the world its first postage stamp back in 1840. The penny black created the principle that one price sends a letter anywhere in the country and has been part of British daily life ever since Henry VIII established it in 1516. When your nan sends a birthday card, she's using a system that predates America. The universal service obligation is to deliver to every address in the UK 6 days a week for the same flat price. It's what makes it different from every courier that's ever left your parcel in a wheelie bin. Every doesn't reach Orkney for the same price as Clapham. Royal Mail has to, by law. That is what was sold. By 2013, it was making about £403 million in operating profit. The pension deficit sorted, courtesy of you, the taxpayer. Parcel volumes were rising on the back of Amazon, and the coalition government thought, yes, you know what, now is a good time to sell. The 150,000 workers were balloted on whether they wanted their employer privatised. 96% said no. The government looked at that and went, sodger, and proceeded anyway. Now, one imagines the ballot results were delivered by a service that still worked. Now, here's what the government knew before they priced the shares at 330 pence each. JP Morgan had privately valued Royal Mail at up to £10 billion, Citibank up to £6.5 billion, Deutsche Bank £5.6 to £6 billion. Barclays, not even advising on the sale, just their equity team doing their actual job, told institutional investors before the float that shares were worth up to £4.20. On day one, shares closed at £4.55. That's a 38% jump, the highest first-day rise ever recorded for a privatised UK company. £750 million in new value in 24 hours. That was your money. Not because the company got better overnight, just because it was priced way too cheaply. Probably deliberately. The IPO was oversubscribed 24 times. 700,000 people applied. Each got 227 shares, worth £749. Meanwhile, something else was happening that the government went to considerable lengths to keep on the quiet. Before the public got near their allocation, 16 city institutions were handed priority investor allocations, preferential, guaranteed shares at 330p. These were stable, long-term investors who'd given Royal Mail solid ownership. Cable said publicly, the government put it in writing. Within days, in some cases within hours, six of the 16 had sold their entire stake. By January 2014, three quarters had sold, nearly half of their holdings. Capital Group went from 20 million shares to 3 million in a single week. George Soros Fund was out within weeks, and Lansdowne Partners, whose co-founder had donated £700,000 to the Conservative Party, and whose co-head was George Osborne's best man at his wedding, coincidence that, received 18 million shares. When the Bureau of Investigative Journalism finally forced the names out, the government had been blocking FOI requests about the public assets they'd just sold on the grounds of commercial confidentiality, Cable admitted discomfort with the profits being made. Among the 16 priority investors was Lazard Asset Management, the investment arm of Lazard & Company. Lazard & Company was simultaneously the government's own independent advisor on the privatization. Lazard, the advisor, told the government not to raise the price. Lazard, the investor, received 6 million shares, sold within days, and made £8 million profit. Lazard, the advisor, also collected a £1.5 million fee. The committee chair called it Alice in Wonderland. He was probably being polite with that. While everyone argued about share prices, something happened in 2012 that barely made the news and that you are still paying for every single day. The government took over Royal Mail's pension scheme, £28 billion in assets, £37.5 billion in liabilities, a £10 billion deficit. The government absorbed both sides, took the assets into Treasury to reduce debt on paper, and assumed the liabilities. George Osborne called it a windfall. What it actually was, taxpayers funding index-linked pensions for hundreds of thousands of former postal workers indefinitely from public money with no investment fund behind it. Since 2012, that obligation has cost £16.5 billion, roughly £4 million a day. The remaining liability, £28 billion. Economist Neil Record put it plainly. The government promised index-linked pensions, then took the £29 billion sitting in the pension fund and spent it. This was done deliberately to make Royal Mail attractive to investors. The pension albatross was lifted off the company's books and loaded onto yours. And what it would cost was never mentioned on the day Vince Cable told the country they'd done a brilliant deal. One thing that made the Royal Mail sale so easy to get away with is that most people only saw one version of the story. Some papers framed the 38% first-day share jump as a triumph. Others called it a scandal. Your opinion depended entirely on which version reached you. This is why I've partnered with Ground News, which exists for exactly this. It's a news comparison platform, not a news outlet. It pulls every major source covering the same story, shows you a visual breakdown of the bias rating, factuality rating, and ownership information of each outlet, and lets you compare headlines side by side. So you can see in seconds how left-leaning or right-leaning press frames the exact same fact somewhat differently. Take the very Royal Mail story we just covered. 24 outlets reported it, 6 lean left, 10 a centre, and 1 leans right, all laid out on a single colour-coded bar. And one of my favourite features is the blind spot page, which shows you stories that only one side is covering at all, so you never miss out on important stories. This channel is built on the idea that the full picture matters. Ground News makes finding it fast. Subscribe by scanning the QR code or going to ground.news/fineprint for 40% off the unlimited access Vantage plan. Links are in the description. Anyway, back to the story. Between 2013 and 2023, shareholders extracted hundreds of millions in dividends. In 2020 to 2021, the pandemic parcel boom, Royal Mail paid out £530 million while letter delivery was already crumbling. The service privatization was supposed to protect was just a cash machine. Then came the strikes. In 2022, 115,000 workers walked out for the first time since 2009. 98.7% voted for action. Management wanted to cut sick pay, impose Sunday working, and the detail that keeps coming up in every investigation since, explicitly prioritize parcels over the letter service that the company was legally required to maintain. In January 2023, committee chair Darren Jones showed the CEO a photograph from a whistleblower inside a delivery office, a priority list on the wall. 1, premium items. 2, large parcels. 3, all parcels. 4, at least half the delivery points, including letters. Letters were 4th. Not all of them, half. Of course, the CEO just denied it, and they denied it was their central policy. But workers across the country said it absolutely was. He left with a reported £700,000 golden handshake, and the poster stayed up. In October 2025, former Tony Bridge depot workers told ITV Meridian that when inspectors came, letters got loaded into lorries and driven around the M25 until the inspectors left. Then the mail came back. The reason? They don't want letters because they don't make money. This is where we stop talking about numbers and start talking about what this actually looks like when it lands on someone's doorstep. Or doesn't. John is a cancer patient who can't work. He was sent a DWP letter telling him his fit note was out of date. It arrived 2 weeks after the date on the envelope. He'd already missed a deadline. His employment support allowance was stopped. He lost nearly £300. He said the letter was dated 2 weeks before he received it. Surely somebody must be accountable for this. Winifred, 24, was having a high-risk pregnancy in Hemel Hempstead. 4 hospital letters didn't arrive on time. She missed 1 appointment. She said, "I lost my first baby, so I used to panic about every single thing. I was so stressed not getting those letters." From Mumsnet, one of hundreds of identical threads, waiting on hospital appointments that haven't come, gets a call from her son's specialist asking if she got their letter. She hadn't received a single letter in 3 weeks. From a Brighton local news thread, "I went to the sorting office and picked up 29 letters, still only getting mail once a fortnight." Someone else, every 3 weeks. Postie says he gets pulled off to do parcels. And from another, "My repeat prescription drugs never arrived. Luckily, I didn't die. However, I am sure many vulnerable people who chose postal delivery for medication suffered and possibly died. No shame, no apologies." Citizens Advice reported that over Christmas 2025, 16 million people, 29% of UK adults, experienced delays. 5.7 million faced serious consequences, so missed health appointments, fines, benefit decisions, legal documents never received. It was the worst Christmas performance in 5 years, and the stamp cost £1.80. In April 2025, Royal Mail was sold to EP Group, owned by Czech billionaire Daniel Krasinski. Yeah, I know I didn't pronounce that right, sue me. The price, £3.6 billion. JP Morgan's private estimate in 2013, up to £10 billion. 12 years later, roughly the same price? Krasinski told the BBC he'd honour the letter service for as long as he was alive. Well, within a year, 219 million letters were on track to arrive late. First class target, 93%, was actually 77%. Ofcom fined the company £21 million. The third largest fine it has ever issued in any sector. It wiped out Royal Mail's entire annual profit. For context on who we're dealing with, Krasinski owns a 15-bedroom mansion on Billionaires Row that he bought for £65 million and once rented to Justin Bieber for a reported £25,000 a week. He also has West Ham United and a private island in the Maldives. In March 2026, he appeared before the Business and Trade Committee. MPs showed him depot priority lists, workers' testimonies, BBC investigations into hidden mail. He categorically denied parcels were being prioritised. The committee chair warned he may be recalled under oath. "It's not catastrophic," he said. "One in four first-class letters arriving late is not catastrophic. 16 million people missing important post at Christmas. Not catastrophic. John losing his cancer benefit because a letter took 2 weeks. Not catastrophic." Not to someone whose spare room is a literal fucking cinema with a wine cellar. Alright, so here is the part where I give you something real. First, most people don't know this exists. You can claim compensation every time your post is late. Royal Mail's own policy, 4 working days after posting a first-class letter, you can claim stamps plus up to £20. Not life-changing, but every claim is a documented record feeding Ofcom's evidence base. Ofcom's multi-million pound fines are built on that aggregated complaint data. You can claim that at royalmail.com/claims. Keep the envelope, the postmark is the evidence. Second, photograph everything. The personal money-saving expert forum who finally got action used a video doorbell to prove they only received mail when junk leaflets came, every 3 to 6 weeks. When they rang to complain, the operator told them the address had been flagged 6 months earlier. Without the photographs, nothing moves. Third, report failures to Citizens Advice. They are the statutory consumer watchdog for postal services. Every case goes directly into what they put in front of Ofcom and Parliament. Those figures, about 5.7 million people experiencing serious consequences, exists because people reported it. Fourth, if you missed a hospital appointment because a letter arrived late, contact PALS at your hospital. Bring the envelope with the postmark. Many hospitals will reinstate your waiting list position with evidence that the failure wasn't yours. You won't hear this from the NHS, obviously. You are going to have to ask. Fifth, if you missed a DWP deadline like John, appeal via mandatory reconsideration. Citizens Advice can help you on 0808 223 1133. Again, the postmarked envelope is your case. Sixth, write your MP. Specifically, email your address, what happened, what it cost. The March 2026 parliamentary debate happened because MPs were drowning in casework. One surveyed Stockport, 89% unhappy. That number existed because people wrote. The systemic ask, stamp prices should not be allowed to rise until Royal Mail is meeting its delivery targets. Citizens Advice has said this for 3 years. It's not the law. So every MP who hears it from a real constituent has a reason to push. In 2020, someone asked Cable if he had regrets. He said, I grew up in York with Roundtrees and Terry's and they evaporated. It feels a bit sad, but you know, that's the way capitalism works. Roundtrees made chocolates. Royal Mail delivers John's cancer paperwork, Winifred's pregnancy appointments, and the benefit letters that, if they arrive 2 weeks late, means you can't afford food. It is not a sentimental brand. It is the infrastructure the welfare state and NHS depend on. And one in four people over 65 have no internet, no apps, no alternatives. For them, the post is not nostalgia. It is everything. A 508-year-old institution was underpriced to benefit city advisors already on the payroll. The pension was loaded onto taxpayers at £4 million a day. New owners took out hundreds of millions in dividends. Workers were scapegoated for workloads management had made impossible. And the man who rented his billionaire's row mansion to Justin Bieber sat in front of a parliamentary committee with documentary evidence in front of him and said, 220 million late letters, not catastrophic. It is catastrophic. It is catastrophic to John and to Winifred. The woman in Brighton who drove to the sorting office and came out with 29 letters is the end result of a decision made in 2013 by someone who called it vindicated on his way out the door. Nothing changes because not enough people know and not enough who know do anything. The NAO said taxpayers missed out by £750 million in 2014. Parliament said Alice in Wonderland. Workers have been whistleblowing for years. None of it produced structural change. Knowledge without action is just anger with nowhere to go. That changes when people share. If stamp prices are ever going to be linked to actual performance, if future governments are ever going to think twice before handing public assets to city institutions at mates rates, it starts with more people understanding what's happening here. Send it to the person in your family that's spending £1.80 to send a card and wondering why the post has gone. Every person who watches is one more person who recognizes the playbook next time it gets run. And it will get run again. Because the people who benefit are counting on you forgetting. And make sure you subscribe because I'm doing this every week, maybe even twice a week. And head to ground.news/fineprint to stay on top of stories like this one. 40% off the Vantage plan through the link in the description.